going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Welcome back, folks. The draft starts this evening, and the Saints will be trying to resolve some, I guess, unpleasant truths. And here to talk to us about it is Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Neil. How's it going?
Jeff, I guess that's a fair way to put it, right, that there are some unpleasant truths that they're having to face with their current roster and need to be shored up.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think it's you kind of got to balance, okay, what are the long-term needs? What are the short-term needs? What is your actual situation at quarterback? Where do you stand with Derek Carr? And how, I don't want to say desperate, but how motivated are you to go get the player that you really want in this draft, right? Whether it's drafting that player at 9, moving up, to go get that player, maybe trading back to get a little more value. I think the important thing for the Saints at this point is to kind of be honest with themselves about where they are in the process of getting back to the playoffs. How many needs, how many wants are there on your team versus what are the musts on your team? And I think we'll find out tonight, because I think if they evaluate their quarterback position as a must, I think you're going to see a trade. I think you're going to see them go get a guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of interesting, because I've been following this whole thing with Derek Carr, and it's almost – I've never seen anything unfold like this before. Have you?
Yeah, it is a little strange. I mean, I wouldn't say it's completely, you know, novel in terms of there has been situations in the past where a player might be disenchanted with the situation. You know, from a health perspective, it's confusing. I think what makes it feel a little weird is the complete lack of information being put out by the Saints regarding the most important player on their team, the highest paid player on their team. We haven't seen him. We haven't heard from him. Mickey Loomis talked yesterday, kind of came out with a statement early on acknowledging that Derek Carr has a shoulder issue, but with no additional details, said that a resolution, clarity should be coming soon, but we won't have it prior to the draft. Part of that, I think, is gamesmanship. You're trying to maintain some kind of advantage of not kind of showing your hand to other teams. Part of it, I think, is they don't have all the answers right now, and, you know, they don't want to give out information that's only kind of half-baked. So, you know, it's a weird situation. You know, I don't think teams are gonna look at that and say, well, they don't know what they're doing. I think the Saints have a plan. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, if the answers to that question of what is the deal with Derek Carr were simple, I think we would have them by now. I think not having them means they're a little more complicated, and being complicated is not a positive thing for a team.
Now, is there a quarterback out there that's available that intrigues you? Because I'm not intrigued by many of the guys that are out there right now, quite frankly.
It's definitely not the strongest quarterback class we've ever seen, and I don't think it helps that we're coming off of a year where it may have been the strongest quarterback class we've ever seen in terms of all the first-round picks and several of those guys having success as rookies. You have Bo Nix, you have Jaden Daniels. Caleb Williams is the number one overall pick. The Patriots, I think, are really happy with what they've seen out of Drake May. J.J. McCarthy is a guy that we haven't even seen yet, but the Vikings really like him. Obviously, the Falcons are rolling with Penix as their starting quarterback. So, you know, it is, you kind of look at that and you say, well, if Cam Ward, who is the presumptive top pick in this draft, came out last year, where would he be ranked? I think he would be fourth, maybe fifth. I think he'd be somewhere around where Penix went. So, it's not a particularly exciting draft. And I think that's why you look at number nine and you say, you're the Saints. Are you going to force a quarterback pick at number nine? Are you going to take the top player on your board? And I think you have to take the top player on your board. What I will say is once you get kind of outside of that range, there are some really intriguing prospects. I think Kyler Shuck out of Louisville's really interesting. He's older. He's actually already 25, has some injury history, but, you know, he has a really strong profile in terms of throwing the football, in terms of his upside. Shedeur Sanders has all the excitement in the world. Whatever team lands him is going to be, you know, kind of riding a wave of entertainment value, if nothing else. Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss is really intriguing. He has a lot of fans out there. So, I mean, I think there are some really intriguing options. I just think you have to kind of be smart about the balancing value versus need here. And, you know, you kind of get, if you get past the Steelers at 21, maybe the Rams at 26, there's kind of this run of teams toward the back end of the draft, or the first round, I should say, that are not taking a quarterback. So they kind of end up being the targets. If you're a team looking at the second round saying, I don't want to wait for the Browns or the Giants to kind of make those QB decisions at the top of the second round, you could very easily say, hey, we're going to jump those two teams. We're going to trade in to the back end of the draft, maybe the Bills at 30, maybe the Eagles at 32, and get a guy that you really do like but don't feel comfortable making a top 10 pick. So, you know, that's kind of where I am. I think Kyler Shuck would be my bet if they do go after a quarterback. Jackson Dart would be kind of next on that list. But, you know, I would be surprised. I'll say it this way. I would be surprised to see the Saints come out of this draft without a quarterback at some point.
Yeah, just because of the uncertainty, right? I mean, if he's not playing next season, you got to have somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, I think this team, I think they are interested in Spencer Rattler and developing Spencer Rattler, but I just think when you don't have a quarterback, right, and whether Derek Carr plays or not, he is kind of a bridge to, at this point, nowhere. At this point, he would be a bridge to nothing because you don't know who that next quarterback would be. So until you do, you have to keep taking swings in the draft. Now, I would love to see there be a quarterback at number nine that they could take a swing at and feel really good about. I just don't think that's there. So, but at the same time, you do need to keep bringing in prospects, bringing in guys you like, and seeing how they develop.
Mickey Loomis announces that they're going to exercise the fifth-year option for Chris Olave, but not exercise the option on Trevor Penning. That kind of forecasts a little bit about what they may be looking for in this draft as well, right?
Yeah, I don't think it changes a ton because this always kind of made the most sense. Now, Chris Olave, I think what people forget when they talk about the fifth-year option is not just plugging an extra year onto a rookie contract. It's adding an extra year onto a rookie contract at the average contract value of the third to 25th salary at those positions. So it ends up being a significant raise from a rookie scale deal. For Chris Olave, it would be somewhere between $15 and $16 million for that extra year. For Trevor Penning, it would be a bit over $16 million. So you adding that extra year comes at a pretty significant cost. So for Chris, yeah, it makes sense because he's dealing with the injury history and the concussions, and you don't know what he's going to look like. So I don't think you want to commit multi-years until you kind of see that. So you kind of add a little bit of length to that runway. And we'll see where we're at this time next year. Maybe he stays healthy, he looks great, and you end up coming to a deal before you even get to that option. For Penning, I think it's kind of the opposite, where, you know, there's no point in adding an extra year to his contract at $16 million. We kind of saw this with Cesar Ruiz a few years ago, where they declined his option, then signed him to an extension before the season to a four-year, $44 million extension. So I think for Trevor, it's going to come down to, hey, you're going to show up at camp. Let's see how you look. Let's see how you fit in this new offense. And then maybe you extend him before the season, or you see how it plays out in the season and consider it that way, because that is what Mickey said. He said not picking up that option doesn't mean they're moving on from him. It just means it doesn't make sense to pick up that option. So I don't think that necessarily changes. If you were looking at a tackle that you really like at number nine, then you're going to take that tackle. But I don't think it means you have to take a tackle. I think it's just going to come down to whether the guy you have a high grade on is available. I also wouldn't be surprised if, you know, prior to the season, you see them extending Trevor and kind of feeling good about your two young tackles kind of building into the future. He started all 17 games last year. He switched positions. I thought, you know, he struggled at points, but you expected that. So yeah. I think this is a good point for him to either kind of, you know, swim or sink at that spot, and that'll tell you where you need to go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
So if we remove the quarterback situation out of the picture for just a moment, what would you identify as the number one need in your mind for the Saints?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing to keep in mind with this team is, yes, you're changing offenses with Kellen Moore, but I think the more significant change is on the defensive side of the ball, and we've talked about this in the past. You're kind of turning from a 4-3, you know, big-bodied defensive end scheme, the three techniques inside, to more of an odd-man front, a 3-4, where you need outside linebackers, particularly on the weak side, where you need kind of a more athletic outside linebacker who can drop into coverage, who can chase guys down on the backside. And to me, that's the biggest need is I feel pretty good about kind of my strong side run stopping defensive ends between, you know, Chase Young, Carl Granderson, Cam Jordan. I feel good about that side of the equation. I don't feel like you have someone you can kind of throw on the other side and be that, you know, more traditional outside linebacker. And, you know, I think this team really, like, say what you want about the offense. If you can't pair an offensive head coach with a defense that can get off the field, you're not going to win a lot of games. We saw the Saints struggle with that back in those 7-9 seasons, right? Drew Brees was always Drew Brees, but you didn't have a defense that could support him, and you lost a lot of games. Once you figured the defensive side of the ball out, you started to win games again, and we saw this great run where they had the most wins in the NFL over a 4-year stretch, won the division 4 times in a row. So I feel like that's where I'm focusing. If I'm looking at needs, I'm trying to find an outside linebacker, edge rusher, who fits what Brandon Staley, the new Saints defensive coordinator, needs his outside linebackers to do. Because right now I think you're trying to figure out who can transition from scheme to scheme, but I would really love to pair him with a player who he feels like fits. So to me, that's the biggest need. And then you can look at defensive tackle, you can look at cornerback. But at the end of the day, I feel like I have starters at those positions. I don't feel like I have that outside linebacker I need. So that's where I'm looking, and that's where my mock drafts have been.
So you think that DeMario Davis, Pete Werner, these guys, they're going to fit into this scheme just fine?
Yeah, so basically the difference is, you know, you're inside linebacker, outside linebacker, which is the outside linebacker position is effectively replacing what would be a defensive end.
Defensive end,
right.
And then
defensive tackles are now in a 3-4 going to be defensive ends per se. And then you would have the defensive or the nose tackle in the middle. So I think, you know, you kind of take away some of the emphasis on the inside linebacker position because you're really never going to have more than two of them on the field at the same time. So I feel like that, you know, those two in that role, in that inside linebacker role, do fit. And you're going to be fine there. I would still love to add depth behind them. But I don't see that as a major need because I just feel like you can find those guys. The Saints have, you know, if you can say one thing about the Saints in terms of development, they have been able to develop some really good inside linebacker prospects. And we've seen it with Caden Ellis. We've seen it with Zach Bond even. Obviously didn't do it here, but went out to Philadelphia and starred in a scheme that is very similar to what the Saints are going to be running. So I feel pretty good about where they are in that position.
Availability, I mean, as we look, we're nine. As we look at the teams in front of us, I'm sure you've evaluated what their preferences are going to be and what they're actually looking for. Does that work for what we're kind of looking for at being nine?
You mean in terms of who they might take?
Yes. I mean, does it look like it may align for us? Or do we have a bunch of teams in front of us looking for the same thing?
You know, it's always tough to say because no team wants it to be common knowledge what they're looking for in the draft, right? Like, we spend months and months talking about it. But at the end of the day, if every team had their way, we would have no idea what they were looking at so that, you know, other teams don't feel like, well, I want that guy. I want to jump him. So it's tough. Like, I think the Giants right now are trying to project a lot of interest in quarterbacks because they want someone to feel like, I want to trade up and go get a quarterback, when in reality they probably want Abdul Carter, the edge rusher out of Penn State, who's, you know, easily the third best player in this draft. Now, the Giants need a quarterback. The Browns need a quarterback. There's really no one to take. So, you know, it's tough to say. Like, the draft board that I've been looking at, you know, the mock drafts, the consensus, whatever – it does seem to line up in a way that I think the Saints will benefit from, in the sense that there should be some really, really talented, intriguing players on the board at nine, whether it's Kyler Warren, the tight end out of Penn State, whether it's Tet McMillan, the wide receiver out of Arizona. You know, I don't think, other than Abdul Carter, I don't see an edge rusher going in the top eight picks. So if you're the Saints and you feel like, hey, I want an edge rusher, you should be able to kind of have your pick of the litter after Abdul Carter. So that's a positive thing. But hey, what if all these teams are trying to lead everyone off and then there's a run on edge rushers from like 5, 6, 7, maybe the Panthers take one at number 8 and suddenly, you know, that kind of goes out the window. So, you know, it's a good spot to be in because I think you have more than, you know, 8 first round graded players, and that's kind of where you're at. You don't want to be sitting in the first round with 0 players on the board that you have a first round grade on. So in that sense, like, you should get a talented player, a player that you could kind of slot in and say, this is going to be our guy at this position, but it's still tough to know exactly who that's going to be.
You know, it's interesting. I know you watch this every year with a lot more intensity than I do, but I watch it as well. It's rare that you see like complete, total, out of left field surprise picks. You know, it's just, everybody's always got kind of, I love the gamesmanship of all of this, but in the end, a lot of the folks that are projecting this stuff, more often than not, they're getting it right. Right? I mean, at least that's my interpretation of what's happening, especially in the first 20 teams that are picking in the first round.
It does seem like that's true. You know, the team that it seems like most often kind of comes out of left field and does something people don't expect is the Saints. You know, with the Peyton Turner pick comes to mind. I don't think a lot of people had Peyton Turner on their board. Cesar Ruiz was kind of a surprise. That was the 2020 draft, which was weird in the sense of, you know, no one really got a good sense of their scouting because of COVID. But no, I mean, like, I think Michael Penix last year with the Falcons, that was a surprise.
Jeff, you could go back to the Russell Erksleben choice too, right?
Yes, you certainly could. You certainly could. You know, I think the big surprise this year would be if the Saints finally, for the first time under Mickey Loomis, traded back because I don't know. I think if Tyler Warren is there at number nine and the Saints don't want to take Tyler Warren, I think there's going to be a team somewhere that wants Tyler Warren, just for example. You know, and if it's the Dolphins at 13, if it's the Colts at 14, you know, because I think there's, you know, one thing Mickey Loomis said yesterday that I agree with, you know, he was asked kind of where the strengths are in this draft, and he said there's a lot of really talented defensive linemen, probably more so than previous years, that, you know, you could probably feel like you could slide back a few picks and get one of those players. So that would kind of be the surprise, just in the sense that, you know, they've never done it. And Mickey says every year, it's like, I'm not against trading back, but, you know, if you'd never do it, then it would stand to reason that you aren't. So I feel like if it doesn't happen this year, it's probably never going to happen.
So the Saints pick at number nine will happen about what time this evening, you think?
Oh yeah, that's tough.
How long do you have on the clock? You got 20. Is it, how long is it? 10 minutes.
10 minutes
on the clock. 10 minutes.
Yeah,
on the clock.
So you're kind of just rolling through. It depends how, you know, the first few picks is tough because, you know, sometimes they just come in straight away. Sometimes teams like to wait it out. I would guess sometime between 8:30 and 9 o'clock would be the pick.
Yeah.
The draft starts at 7. It takes forever to get started. You know, how, like last year, for instance, it was weird that the walk from the green room seemed like it was about a mile and a half. So that took extra time. So it's always tough to gauge. But it's not a fast process. They make sure to get their money's worth out of these broadcasts.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in Green Bay this year. So, you know, when it was in New York every year and you kind of got a read of how long everything was going to take, now it's kind of going to be based on what the whole setup is like. And they're going to want to make sure to feature Green Bay and Lambeau Field and all that. So it's really tough to say for sure.
Well, we look forward to checking in with you in the aftermath of all of this. One thing for sure, the NFL has a method to their madness, so we can expect that revealing itself yet again tonight, not unlike other years as well, right?
Oh, no doubt. And they give them credit. They do a great job kind of pumping up the interest level in this event. Like it's not like this for the NBA draft. It's not like this for the MLB draft. Like the NFL draft is an event all in and of itself that's built up for months and months and months. Like the number of people that you're going to see in the crowd alone is insane. Like it's one of the reasons we can't have it here unless they change the dates around is because we couldn't possibly accommodate the number of people that would bring along with the number of people Jazz Fest brings. So it really is remarkable how they've built this event out.
We could have the draft at Jazz Fest.
That would be something.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints Sideline reporter and digital content producer. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see what's going to happen this evening. Kind of exciting. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep. Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.